laws for family life, part 3. We are at verse 20. O.T. Spence observed well. He says, this section in Deuteronomy 22, 1 to 30, yields 14 separate areas of family life in which regulation was given for the unselfish general well-being of the families of Israel. And Matthew Henry also say, the laws of this chapter is for the preservation of charity and good neighborship. Verse 20 to 21, the guilt of a wife. Verse 20 says, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. O.T. Spence said well. He says, if, however, on the other hand, the wife was proven guilty of dishonesty concerning her virginity at marriage, she was to be stoned to death. Further evidence indicates that she has been a whore in her father's house and yet persisted she was a virgin. Of course, we can readily see in this matter, he reasoned for us, was more involved than we had anticipated when we first started reading the passage. Deception and practice of immorality are now viewed behind the facade of purity and virginity. It would seem true, after studying this law, that every girl marrying her husband-to-be should inform him with care concerning the moral condition of her past life, and he should feel equally honest in the same. Rather than cover up and give the impression of being a pure person in the past in this matter of physical fornication, the emphasis here seems to turn upon the fact that the wife claimed to be a virgin and indeed was not. If she was, it would certainly satisfy or should satisfy the jealousy of her husband, Numbers chapter 5. And we should see here the deutero view furthering that principle. If she indeed was not that person she had pretended to be, other problems could arise from those past sins by those past persons that could seek to destroy the marriage to that husband. Only the principle is revealed here. We are not given the multiplicity of problems that could undoubtedly arise from the more complicated background of all the things and the persons that could be involved. So you see here, general principles are taught, and general principles are important, and they help us to put things together to bring about peace in the family. Do not forget that when you are reading and studying these things, somewhere, sometime, we must acknowledge our sins and transgressions and deal with our responsibilities. If we are going to be at our best for God and witness to others. So this point number 9 from verse 20 to 21. And verse 22, the guilt of a man with the wife of a husband. If a man be found, verse 22 says, lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. In these matters, there is usually the third party of a triangle. Behind the scenes of a broken marriage is usually a third person. Here is the case of a man lying with a woman married to a husband. It is assumed in this case that the wife gave consent to this act of adultery and therefore was equally guilty of this sin of adultery. They were both stoned to death. So you see, in Israel, the Lord shows us the gravity of such matters, that affects family life, that affects the family in a very deep way. And so here the Lord seeks for us to understand what are those things that are abominable in the sight of God. The guilt of a man with a betrothed virgin, verse 23 to 24. So you see different situations, different scenarios that is being shown to us. If a damsel, that is a virgin, be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then they shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and he shall stone them with stones that they die, and the damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so shalt thou put away evil from among you. This case emphasizes the betrothed or engaged woman who has a physical union with another man during the period of engagement. It might be understood that the man in this incident initiated the advances of love to her. But no matter, she gave consent. She did not cry out that she was being seduced or raped. And she should, at that point, make a distinction between being seduced or raped. The young girl, the young lady, must be careful that she's not being seduced, because it is often true, as statistics reveal in our own 20th century, this O.T. Spence in his assessment, that the majority of rape cases are from friends of the family or contacts which have been made with the family previously. An immoral man does not care whether he seduces or rapes in most instances. He is only interested in fulfilling his lust. If a young lady is old enough to allow herself to be taken away by the seduction and snares of an immoral man, she must nevertheless suffer the consequences of being weak. She must cry out. So here is shown to us the different scenarios, the different cases, and the next one is verse 25 to 27, the 12th one, the guilt of men and rape. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man rises against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. This is a different case. The woman cries out against the act of rape. These are several things. There are several things which are involved here that are worthy of our consideration. First, he observed, he says, the woman was to cry out even if no one heard her. This reveals the utter separation of the lust and weakness of the woman from the lust and sin of the man. It might well be that if a young woman would follow such an example as revealed here, God would intervene in her behalf. When such a terrible situation as this might confront a Christian lady, it would be advisable to cry aloud in his presence with all the heart, to cry to the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, for deliverance from sin, from this dirty man, to save his soul from his sin and devil's hell. It might be, on the other hand, that rape will not be stopped, but it will always be true that conscience will be clear in the propriety of the terrible circumstance. And so he says that we may realize in our own time that a great deal of this is a result of a person being out of touch with God, in the wrong place, without the armor of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We do not mean by this that a Christian woman is never raped, but we do intend to announce the truth that a Christian has someone to cry out to in any situation in life. If a woman cried out, only the man was to be stoned to death, the woman remained free from the involvement. So here is given very clearly God's law to help us to understand the various situations. The 13, unbetrothed to Mary, verse 28 to 29. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. We understand that this law deals with two single persons, man and woman, unengaged or betrothed, who have physical union in the flesh, and it becomes public knowledge. They are to marry each other. The man is to give the father of the woman 50 shekels of silver as a visible token of contracted marriage in public evidence. So the man was unmanly in that he humbled the name of the woman. He may not put her away from him after marriage. O.T. Spence. Number 14, man and his stepmother, that's the last one, forbidden. A man should not take his wife or discover his father's skirt. We assume this is a man with his stepmother, distinguished from his real mother. This, of course, is forbidden. And then the part about discovering the father's skirt, well, there was an example during the time of Noah, when after the flood, he was drunken, and his sons covered him up so that he would not be exposed to his nakedness, and they did so without looking at the father. They did so backwards, like to cover him up. So here, is that mentioned. So in conclusion, this large section which we have gone through, the 30 verses, with 14 areas, related to family life, there are a number of observations that should be made to assist us to see these spiritual lessons drawn from these peculiar laws. First of all, to see the property of others, that it is considered by God to be under our care. So though the things does not belong to us, they belong to the people around us. Nevertheless, in the sight of God, He expects us to look out for one another. Secondly, the various life forms of animal creatures are also under our responsible care. Our respect for others of the human race demands us to be responsible when they suffer the loss of a possession. Nature, by virtue of our gaining so many benefits from natural resources, looks to man for assistance for life. The neighbor and the bird are part of our responsibility as a Christian. So here we spoke earlier about the nest. The nest, we're not to destroy it. Thirdly, in our own house, there is to be a consideration for visitors in safety and convenience. In other words, it has to be a safe place for those who visit us, that we might be hospitable rather than careless in their being with us. Fourth, in the matter of lust, fornication, and adultery, which we have considered today, man is considered by God to be aggressive in the sin. Man must take a larger responsibility in the sins of sex. Although we are fully aware of the fact that a woman can force a man into immorality. Proverbs 7 verse 21. But God reveals the natural constitution of man to be the more responsible. So man has a greater part, with greater responsibility in this matter. Fifth, in this same matter, woman is the more vulnerable than men. She's not only the helpmeet, but the weaker in physical stamina in the matter of the aggressor, the man. Sixthly, although the Christian is not given the legal prerogative of stoning to death anyone, unless his life has been placed in the seat of civil authority or by law is vested with the authority of imprisoning a criminal or executing a murderer, yet he must live in such a way that, by scripture, separation and purity, he has killed the temptation, the sin, and the susceptibility of the sin and the sinner. We must, by witness and practice, condemn the man and the matter that would involve our life or our family in any sin. Seventh, close familiarities are costly. They carry with themselves certain temptations, and if not carefully guarded through prayer and the word, may lead us to great sins. Amen. May the Lord strengthen us as we study His word, grant to us His grace to obey and follow Him.